DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble up a dub dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
I love the quotes on that too.
I mean, they all were smart and stupid.
No, they were teenagers. Mikey was.
Come on.
Mikey was clearly the Danny DeVito to the Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of a equation. Like, all the just dumb shit went into one turtle.
Raphael?
No, Raphael was all moody and, you know, fucking.
Yeah,
like
he was very emotional.
He was emo before there was a thing called emo.
Yes, exactly. He was very emo.
Yeah. Do you know how angry you'd have to be? You know how angry you'd have to be that emo and have no hair to comb over your face? I mean, come on.
It's pretty hardcore. Right.
So I think we should start this before both Samantha and Jim melt.
God damn it.
I pointed my AC into the room, so it is cooling down, but I just got done cooking, and that stove is so hot.
I got my taint fan on, so got some...
That's a good fan.
Coming up.
That fan's working hard.
Yeah, it is. Because the smell is a drawback, but the sensation, wow. C'est magnifique.
I mean, pros and cons. You got to just pick your battles, you know?
True that.
You know what? I'm including all of this in the show, so we've started. I don't even care.
Name of the episode is Taint
Fan. Taint Fan.
I like it.
Okay, really quick before we jump into today's agenda. By the time this airs, the newest episode of Homestead will have dropped. If you haven't listened to it, please do so, because our friends from All Things Z are major players on it. And good. I'm really excited. I listened to it again today because I had to make it into a video for YouTube. And it's really, really good. It's one of the best episodes we've done so far. And
did you have to be naked? Did you have to be naked? No, you didn't.
YouTube adult content. Mm-hmm. He posted YouTube on his OnlyFans.
That version is going to Pornhub.
We should create a not another OnlyFans and just have like feet pictures. I guarantee you, we'd make so much money.
So long as they were gems, I mean, yeah.
I was gonna ask whose feet specifically.
We'd
I've got a toenail that's like straight up tree beard from Lord of the Rings. Like it's.
Do you call him Toe Beard?
Toe Beard. Oh, damn it!
Now,
curse you, Robinson.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, okay, so unfortunately, Bryce is not here, and he was very
on assignment.
He didn't have to watch the movie, but no, he does have to watch the movie, and he has to submit a written movie report, a book report, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
he's not going to, but
no.
It's adorable
he's not.
That
he's not.
It's adorable that you threw that out there, James.
he's gonna read the book and then.
Let's see if there's a killer clown book. I'm sure there is. Okay.
Clown Town. It's called Clown Town.
Damn this movie.
Well, I'm guessing Jim has a lot to say. So, Jim, do you want to go first? Oh, Jesus,
I took notes too. Jim, I took notes too. I told James I just want to read through them.
Yeah. You know, I'll let someone else go first because my savaging – I don't want that to set the tone for the listener. Some other like non-biased, maybe middle of the road.
Okay, tell you what. Since I'm the one who picked it, I will go first. I liked it. I found it enjoyable. It's slow. It's
so was no Lenny from A Bison Men.
there's no plot to speak of, really. None. I mean, it's your typical group of stupid victims winds up in a town, and they're killed one by one. There really is no, but it.
Keep going. No.
The comments that I got from all of you guys told me that there was no way you were going to give this movie a chance at all.
Fuck you. I wanted to see this movie.
I gave it a chance. I'm the one who was – I was the decider.
Yeah.
Before – Samantha, before you even watched it, your mind was made up based on comments everyone else was making. Danny especially.
Because they were funny.
Because I watched it before all of you assholes.
Bullshit. I watched it that night.
Truth.
I did too. Danny did too, yeah.
Did you?
Same here. Yep.
I waited a couple days.
So now, all of the things that I was saying were based off of factual evidence, bud.
Yeah. You guys wanted to hate it before. Yeah. Danny especially, you wanted to hate it before you even watched it. And I think Bryce heavily influenced all of y'all. Wait. Sure. You will have your turn, Senator.
This episode may divide not another podcast. Not another confederacy will form. Not another empire. Not another rebellion.
Civil war.
Well, so long as it gets to not another fucking point sooner rather than later,
Look, this had every single slasher horror trope in there. The killer who could teleport great distances to be ahead of his victims. What I liked about this movie...
That's the only one? Wow.
No. What I liked about this movie is why I liked Halloween. It's why I liked a lot of those movies. That there is no origin. There is no reason for these killers. They just are. I really like that. I didn't need to have any sort of, you know, spoon-fed explanation. Oh, you know, the town went dry and the circus came to town and they all went crazy. I didn't need that. It was
that would have been a great movie to go watch. Are you fucking kidding me? Yes, that, please, that. Now, where is it? What is that movie called?
We watched it. It was called Clown Town.
Disagree.
I really enjoyed the mime clown, the clown that was had the Harlequin makeup, the general mime one.
General mime. is that why France doesn't have an army? Is that because it'd be like general mime?
That's exactly.
He's a two-star general.
I enjoyed that one specifically. If they'd gotten rid of all the other clowns and just used that one, I think the movie would have been far more enjoyable. He was the scariest of them all, honestly.
Had the potential to be debatable.
Jim is killing me. Keep going.
Sorry. Yeah.
You guys
I am not saying it was a good movie. Scary one. You left off at the scary one. Go ahead.
I am not saying it was a good movie by any stretch. I enjoyed it, though.
It's fine. That's your opinion. We validate it, but it's wrong.
Right out of my mouth.
We hear you. We hear you as your friends, as your fellow Podcraftians. We validate your perception from that capacity because we are still friends, but you are
we value
really
your
wrong.
Independent unique opinion
and hope that luck finds you again in the future or whatever. I'm not sure, but so that was your review.
Yeah,
is there anything else? I mean, okay.
I honestly don't think it was as bad as you guys are going to make it out to be.
If y'all don't mind, might I take the second review stab at this one?
Senator
Deathclock, you may take the stand.
Thank you, sir. So going into this movie, I was fully aware it was going to be a low-budget horror movie, like you do. I mean, honestly, we aren't picking top-tier high-budget films to begin with, so we already kind of know what we're in for. So that being said, I was up for it. Not going to lie, I knew what I was getting into, though. And watching it, you know, I will say that at least this movie kept my attention, but gave me nothing to reward said attention gained, you know? It was like, I didn't mind the fact that they didn't build up like this whole grand purpose, except children are psychopaths, and when, you know, pushed in that direction, become stronger psychopaths. That was the only backstory I got from it, which is fine. But like I said in the comments, I was like, you know, this movie, it isn't good. It isn't great. This is no masterpiece work of art. But at least it's better than Helen Keller. Now, that being said, that's like saying Helen Keller being a giant steaming pile of dog shit. This is dog shit that has gone cold. Not as bad. Still the same creature, though. But, you know, honestly, like, the clowns themselves, I've been over the Pepe Le Pew-style psychopath since the first time I saw Halloween, and even then I was over it. And for me, this movie just basically lived on the Michael Myers coattails of being that slow-moving monster, and then, yeah. But the difference is at least Michael Myers had something supernatural about him that kept him coming back. These assholes all died because they were just psychopaths. And again, for my own reasons, this wouldn't be one that would make it to my Halloween pumpkin carving, but not horrible, but by no stretch of the imagination, a decent film. So there's my two cents. Enjoy.
Solid, fair, I would say.
So,
Samantha, please.
If I may. Like I said, I just wanted to read through my notes, and this will take us through the whole movie. So it starts from the beginning. I just kind of took notes as they came into my head. So here we go. Why are the kids sleeping in the same bed? She's agreed. A very
yeah, I had a problem with that too. Man. That was a little off.
That's in all
open
the
up
movies,
your
though.
Goddamn
it's crazy.
Craft room, you fucking man, a monster.
She's
but
a
if
very
they do that, they'd have to get rid of all the clown statues and porcelain dolls and crap.
Yeah,
it
right.
Looks like they had to get rid of them after they turned psycho, either. But whatever.
She's a very responsible babysitter. She was cleaning up and all that. Dude didn't wash his hands when he touched the engagement ring. I love how the waitress. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that's a really good point. I was actually trying to rewatch the movie before we started recording tonight, and I got 20 minutes in. It felt like 3 hours, but it was only 23 minutes in. But it's a very good point. I didn't realize that the first time I watched it either about the ring.
He shakes it off and then just grabs the ring out of his friend's hand, looks at it, and then he rubs his eye, and I was like, ah! So, yeah.
You guys are in a men's room right now.
Gentlemen hygiene.
Did not wash his hands at all, and then they let us gross. Anyway, so I love how the waitress leans way into the frame for those other two guys, and she just, like, leans so far in and then disappears. It was just very funny. And then I said, fun bags. And then we get to where we see the clowns, and I said, and this is why we have conceal and carry.
Yeah.
And then, so James, you'll like this one. I feel that the dialogue isn't completely terrible, would have been in better hands with more seasoned performers. And how are they suddenly so dirty?
Right, that was another thing too. In this whole town, not a single person knows how to operate or owns a washing machine whatsoever. And nobody's ever heard of or ever used a bath or a shower. Now, these are also considering the normal jackoffs in the town, which apparently are all part of the psychopaths. But even the bikers who roll in are just like, well, we came across the threshold of this town and immediately covered in muck. like we've been elbows deep in a fucking 57 Chevy all day.
Well, yeah, that's where I was getting, like, the group shows up, they wait for the dude, and then they run into the clowns, and then they run like 20 feet and hide, and then all of a sudden they're just greasy, sweaty, dirty messes. And I'm like, how did you get that greasy when you were just all, because I mean, they were so dirty.
Did you forget the part where the first place they hid was a junkyard?
Yes, but you don't get that dirty in 5 minutes, whether you're in a junkyard or not. They look like they just rolled around in soot.
This is like Predator. They won't see me.
And you guys clearly missed the part where the clown sprayed them with mud to slow them down.
Yeah.
And then like that nice coiffed blonde hair. Just is suddenly just a stringy, greasy mess, whatever. And then my next note is, the blonde scared, cold, or having an orgasm? Because yes. She was always like, and I'm like, what are you fucking doing?
She's having a scared, cold orgasm.
It was ridiculous. And then I said,
hey, fear affects people differently. I don't think we should shame or judge. Because some people get sexually aroused when in life or death situations. That's beautiful.
Good for her, but you couldn't tell which one it was. Or it could be all three. Whatever.
She was speaking her truth. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Samantha. I'm sorry.
Then I said, nice hat, paper boy. Nice hiding spot under a grate and behind an open damn door. Okay, tough guy.
With enough
LOL.
Daylight to see that there's a giant body right directly underneath this grate.
Right.
15 yards away.
Okay, yeah, I will agree. That took me out of it. The guy was standing right over one of his victims, and he didn't even, like,
through
periphery
a grate,
see him.
Through a grate.
Yeah.
Like, all you have to do is look down, and he's right there. And then I said, okay, tough guy, LOL. No blood on his face magically? So he's punching the mime clown. And his face is covered in blood. Then the next scene, he looks up at his friend, and he's perfectly clean. I said, hooray, we don't know how to get in or out of a car. And
cars are complicated.
I kept making that joke during the movie. Why can't we just get in the running car?
Yes,
no,
I love
that's the
that.
First thing you'll think of. Let's go hide
that's
behind
a great commercial.
Behind all those chainsaws.
Okay, I just have a few more. And then they go into the house, and I noticed the name on the mailbox. I didn't pay attention to it before, and it said Strode. And I said, Strode? Really? Okay.
I saw that, too. I thought that was pretty blatant.
Yeah, I was like, come on, at least be subtle. I said, the brunette that was kidnapped earlier, I was like, has she been screaming this whole time? Because she was very annoying. And what is this sudden audio quality shift? And then, okay, I take
that's
back
where
what
they started
about,
running out of money.
Yeah, right. And I said, okay, I take back what I said about the dialogue. It is so repetitive. And I said, gangster
Here's
gun.
My
and
phone. Then,
yeah, right. And then gangster gun. And then ha 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 ha. Jesus nail hand kill. And then lock doors maybe. I have three more left. This is all. Lock doors maybe. Big boy boss battle. LOL, they don't even check if people are dead or not. And then welcome to 31. And those are my notes.
Yep. Accurate notes, Sam. Accurate
What's
notes.
What's really funny is everything that you said on there, I said as I was watching it.
Yeah.
Like when they got in the garbage truck, it's like, hello, lock the door, dumbass.
For fuck's sake.
No one ever does
check.
Any horror movie.
Nope.
Every horror movie, something. They jump in the car, they try and get it started. No one thinks to lock the door.
Now, I get it. You're in a stressful life or death situation. It's easy to play armchair survivalist in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sorry, if you do not have certain inborn instincts that say, hey, I'm in this small structure, but it can be secured. If I push this little thing down and close that other door and lock it as well, I should be temporarily safe for a minute to kind of collect my thoughts. If you don't have that in your, like, wiring, you deserve to be eaten by clowns. Period. I'm not even starting yet.
For me, it's right up there with when you've knocked the killer down, why not just cut his head off?
Tommy Jarvis.
Just cut his head right off.
Okay, so is it my turn?
It is.
Just a quick side note, James, the salmon I made is so good.
I'm so jealous.
All right, so before I get into the savaging.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's all the time we have.
Oh, that's fine. I will create my own podcast. Bring Down Killer or Bring Down Clown Town will be the name of my podcast.
I like it.
He's going to start a signature writing campaign to have that movie extinguished from
reality. It's a simple from reality. Concept.
I think when I went to plug in, because I said I was watching the movie a little bit before we started recording.
Yeah.
I think something popped up between when we all watched it and tonight, because there's now a series called Clown Town. And the show looks actually pretty interesting. I didn't get a chance to start watching that. I should have, instead of wanting to douse my eyes in bleach and hand sanitizer after watching this abortion of cinema called Clown Town. Now, but at the very beginning, when we voted and we agreed Clown Town was going to be the movie, I was excited. It was one that I voted for. I wanted to see it. It had a lot of the things that I look for when it comes to like schlocky B-rate level horror movies, right? I'm like, okay, you got a town that's, I don't know, maybe they're overrun with clowns. Maybe like something in the groundwater happened and, you know, infected the people or something. Or there was I think it was an independent horror film about a guy that just sort of starts to like grow into being a clown. Like his feet turn into clown shoes. His skin turns from like flesh to like.
I've seen that one.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, it is. So I'm thinking like, you've got all these great venues and vestiges to pull from. None of that. The movie starts, okay? You hit play, and you should immediately regret it, because the first thing that comes up, and nobody mentioned this, and I actually put this on as soon as I saw it, the night that I watched it and we voted on it, I was like, the first thing you fucking see, based on actual events.
Oh yeah, based on true events.
Yeah. So what? There are towns and things and people call clowns.
Unless they're like talking about John Wayne Gacy or something.
No, I think they're using it in the loose terminology of saying that there have been towns where clowns have randomly showed up, and they're using that as their based upon true events, because that happened. How many of them were psychopathic murderers and took over an entire town? Probably zero, but...
No, we need Bryce, our research guy.
Possible. Yeah.
But this could have been the movie where they did that. They did not. They did not. So movie starts with the tail end of a story time between two adorable little kids, which I'm assuming is either at Halloween time, because I don't know, it just kind of had that vibe a little bit. But again, they're sitting next to the pool and their babysitter wearing just a stunning bikini, but woefully inappropriate for watching two small children, I feel. I don't know. Maybe it's just me becoming a dad and getting old or whatever. But she looked way too hot. Like, that was a babysitter their dad shopped around for. Like, sure, her website includes, like, escorts and, like, you know, in-person massage. Also, babysitting service. Like, that's clearly, like, a side hustle she's running. The phone rings, and it's the dad letting them know that there's been an accident. But his name is Mr. Strode. Like, they hammer the Strode Halloween thing so hard, to the point where the boy, after she puts them to bed in the same bed, which, I mean, come on, flowers in the fucking attic. Let's just give these kids as many issues as possible. He comes downstairs later on dressed like a clown. And you're thinking, oh, fuck, here we go. And then later on, when she checks on the kids and she's looking in the room, spoilers, she gets hacked in the stomach. It like the shittiest, like it's looking like she was standing next to an automatic chopping machine that just had a butcher knife on it, like oscillating into her stomach. She's like, I could move and live, but I'll stand here and die. Yeah. So fucking horrible. Let's see here. The title sequence, once the credits and everything start rolling, looks like a really shitty Netflix series. And it's like all over the place. Like first there's these pictures of like clowns and like toys that might be possessed. But then it's like a picture of a car driving, but like the image is inverted or whatever. I don't know. It got really weird. The kids are going to a concert. Like, come on, writers of the movie. You couldn't pick any artist or make up a name or put a thimble's worth of fucking effort. We're going to see the Bodacious Queets. They're playing in Ohio. They rarely get together. I'm so glad they actually got some U.S. dates this year. No, we're going to a concert. And then later on, they make a vague, like, I don't even like country music. Was that the concert they were going to? Was it? Who fucking knows? They never even bothered. If they would have said Chris Gaines, I would have given this movie 4 thumbs up. If they were just like, oh, we're going to see a Chris Gaines concert, I'm like, that's scary enough as it is. I'll go ahead and give this movie a positive review. No, couldn't be bothered. These are the small nuts and bolts that can take a shitty movie with a low budget and make it movieable, make it entertaining. If you put in just a thimble's worth more of effort, something that Samantha said was also very true. The writing was there at points, but the performers just felt wooden. Like the whole part in the beginning where they're in the men's room and he's like showing the ring and he's just like, he's like, what do you think? He's like, I think the answer is still no. It's like, there could have been so much more like playful banter.
Yeah.
Plus you're in a fucking men's room.
Because that's exactly when I wrote that, because they're back and forth and how they're jiving each other, jabbing at each other. It's just, it felt.
Say, like turkey, look at this here ring, man. Check it out. It's out of sight.
No,
I don't speak yet, but they felt like they were friends. Like the dialogue was very friendly. Like that's how we talk to each other. And I was like, cool. Yeah. All right. But they were so wooden. And like I said, it would just, the dialogue would have been so much better with actors that are more seasoned and know how to make it sound more natural.
Well, and I totally agree with that there. I had no sympathy at all for any of the protagonists at all.
Yeah.
Like there was nothing redeeming about them or nothing that made me go, gee, I hope at least one of them survives.
Yeah. You're like, if these people get wiped out, just another day for me, you know, I don't mean to sound cold and
that, you know, would have made the movie more interesting though.
Yeah.
That would have made it more interesting.
What makes a movie about, you know, a group of kids versus random unstoppable evil is your investment in those characters. Cabin in the Woods is a perfect example of that. It's not just because the actors do such a wonderful job and the writing is there. There's a chemistry that they have between one another. And so when they start getting picked off, they're like, oh fuck, I liked him. Like you feel like now you're emotionally involved. With
I adore
this,
that movie, like, by the way.
Oh, it's masterfully done by someone who truly understands, appreciates the genre. Yes, Senator Deathlock.
So I've been looking up, trying to fill the large shoes of Bryce, trying to find out things, and I was in fact absolutely right. In an interview with the writer director, he goes, "What true events inspired you making this movie?" He goes, in Bakersfield, California, there were over 20 reported sightings of creepy clowns terrorizing residents. Some were spotted holding baseball bats, machetes, and even guns. Needless to say, the clown sightings sparked much fear in the locals.
Yeah.
That's the true events that this movie is based on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember reporting on those when they happened. It's like 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah, it was a prank. It was like this big, like, internet prank. These guys should dress up as clowns. You can actually find videos on YouTube if you type in, like, scary clown prank. Mm-hmm. There's a group of people that dress up as really scary clowns, set up video cameras, and just wait to scare the crap out of people.
Shot dead.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing one video. There's a group of them in like this really crappy car that would chase people, like follow people in other cars.
See, that's dangerous.
That's
beyond prank. That's life threatening.
Again, concealed carry. That's why you have it.
Thank you. You turned out a Samantha for a moment.
Film in general. How is it nobody in this town ever once, ever owned any kind of firearm whatsoever?
That's well, I'm sure question. They did, but there was a little montage when the weird homeless guy was explaining why the town was empty, and they showed the how the clowns operated.
Yeah, and like, that was such a weird, like, yeah, there was such a awkwardly shoved in. It felt like inserted. It didn't really feel organic to the storyline. What storyline? It just felt like. Mostly everything just felt like, okay, so if we pull some of this from this type of movie and insert that, then this should work. Like, they're trying to pull all
They shoved genres. All their exposition into this weird montage that it didn't need it. Once again, it's one of those things that they put it in there and it takes away from the overall movie.
Well, it's not even that. It's there.
It's an insult. It's sort of they're doing a tell instead of showing, like show me, don't tell me. Because the audience can infer that the town was cut off because the very beginning, the train rails, you know, because of the accident were shut down. So the industry was no longer there. That happens all the time in the US, you know, that happened in Bates Motel, you know, so it's just kind of like, okay, so that's a trope. Like, that's something that does happen in real life and in fiction. So we can infer that, but you don't need to tell me that happened. I get it.
And so based on the fact, I mean, and yeah, the clown video, videos that popped up of, you know, these people just showing up out of the shadows. Yes. Very terrifying. Then the movie should start with based on an internet challenge. It shouldn't say based on actual events. Thank you.
Well, it's because they sell better that way by saying the true events. Now, in all fairness, I'm going to throw an old schooler back at you. You look at movies like The Blair Witch Project.
Yes.
Making the advertisement that it was found
based
footage,
on actual events, yeah.
Footage, and these are true events happening, it's put asses in seats. And I won't lie, they fucking sold me dead to rights. And it
yeah, we've talked about it before
like
on the show.
Weekend,
we all got sucked into
the
actors
that. And I call bullshit. But at the same time, you know that when somebody says based on true events, for people who
take
really
it with
don't
a grain
know
of salt.
Better,
mm-hmm.
they click in. They're like, oh, fuck, okay, here we go.
Yeah, unless you know the events that led to the movie being made. For instance, the movie Bombshell with Charlize Theron that came out. You know that was based on true events because it was all over the news.
Yeah.
So
wait, to cite Blair Witch though is to me the exception that proves the rule. You're citing a film that started an entire genre of found footage of films.
They also started the trend of making it based on true events though, when it clearly isn't.
No, because you can go back as far as Psycho. Psycho's based on true events.
Yeah, but he never advertised it that way.
No, that's before they started. They realized that's how they could advertise it. But Texas Chainsaw Massacre was advertised that way.
The original?
Yes, the original. And that is also based on true events.
Off the same true events of the other one you talked
about. Yes, exactly.
I think senators. I think we're getting lost in a semantics forest about the based on true events versus
no. But Danny's
whatever.
No. Danny's 100% correct in that a movie will likely get more viewership if you advertise it as based on true events. You don't have to say which events it's based on.
Yeah. That's why I said at the very beginning.
As possible.
Yeah.
That's why I said there are clowns. And people live in places grouped together tightly. We call those towns. These are actual things that exist. So based on that, you know, these things exist. And based on that, we made this hour and a half of your life you're never going to get back.
Wouldn't anyway. That be more based on things that exist rather than events?
Yeah. Based on carbon. I mean, if you really want to break it down to his brass attack, based on atoms filmed with air. I mean, these are all things that they could have also put at the beginning that would have been equally...
If I'm understanding you correctly, Jim, you did not like this movie because of its lack of details, essentially.
I don't like this
one. The complaints that you've put forward, and they're all valid. I'm not trying to nitpick, but
I am.
You seem to not like this movie for its lack of world building.
I don't like this film because of the cinematography, the writing, the interaction between the actors, the special effects, the makeup, everything was subpar. And again, I've managed to find something worthwhile in a lot of films that are lacking in all of these different details. But a thimble's worth of effort in any one of these directions could have made this film much more enjoyable. And they didn't bother to do any of that.
Let me ask you this. Was there anything in the movie that you did like?
The credits at the end. When I knew that the nightmare was over. And you know what? Because I'm so fucking morbidly curious, I sat through them to be like, maybe there's some kind of Marvel-esque stinger where this whole thing was like some kind of like a S.H.I.E.L.D. training exercise to like bring the Joker into Avengers or some shit. Like, maybe something, right? And just nothing. Just disappointment to the very end. And I sat there for a moment. I thought about a lot of the choices that I made in my life. I will say this though about some of the actors that played the clowns, because they mostly were forced to be silent, that restricts an actor considerably. And you can either go like the Michael Myers, where it's just like, you know, I am automaton with knife and I kill. These guys, there was a lot of emotion. They, I think, were probably trying their best to save the film, in my eyes, because there was a couple of scenes where I'm like, okay, I could sort of see which clowns wanted to be juggalos, which clowns wanted to really liked watching The Crow. Like, there's a very distinct subculture with it, which I think they could have also explored, but didn't. Was like all the subspecies of clowns or whatever. The pacing of the film too. Everything, it was an hour
super
and a half.
Super slow. Yeah, I think it we all agreed like, on that.
Oh my God, it was. I sent a message to the group that just said, "This movie moves at the same pace as a detailed description of how to build wicker furniture with actors just as wooden."
Yep.
I thought that was pretty clever.
No, I think we all agreed on that. Like, I
don't break your arm jerking yourself off though.
I had a real problem with pacing. Like, it felt rushed to get to the clowns and then suddenly slowed to frozen molasses. I mean, it almost slammed on the brakes really hard. And then, like, all the moments that you wanted it to, like, really pick up, it didn't. And then when it did pick up, there was no reward. There was nothing, you know, it was all this buildup and then there was nothing. So.
Yeah. Other notes here I have, the cast has the type of chemistry that Bryan Cranston makes TV shows about. Let's see here. I'd say this movie moves at a snail's pace, but if anyone saw that movie Turbo, that Pixar put out, that was actually a pretty good fucking movie. Movie was like a prostate exam from a pirate, you know, with a little hook for the hand. It's horrible. Somehow, like in the beginning, right, there's a scene. And it is, it's integral to drawing the audience into liking the characters. And it happens a lot when there's a group of kids traveling to either go camping or to go to a concert. Random band is playing at arena. We should go. Like, what the fuck? That's how it translates to me.
Random band is amazing.
Their early shit was good. Their early shit was good before they got all fucking sell out.
And the best place to see a show is at arena.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
You know, everyone I saw them when they were at nightclub.
before they were popular.
Dude, if random band went to arena, bet your ass I would get tickets.
I would buy so much of their merch. Their merchandise. Like I said, there's a scene that's integral to drawing the audience into liking your main characters that are going to be hunted later on. And that scene happens in their like Jeep, and they're talking about a funny story about them partying one night, and the girlfriend of the guy that's driving, she's like, and it was so funny because you got up in the morning and you opened up your sock drawer and all your socks were wet. And I'm just like, wait, hold on. Did you jerk off in all the socks? Like, what kind of part? Like, hold on. Maybe.
There's a story of interest here.
You know, and that's where a lot of my anger gets too. Is like they would start down like an alley where like that could be interesting, and they would just cut it off immediately. So that's sort of shit.
No interest like, for you.
Yeah.
Well, that was something that pissed me off too, because it was like, don't feed me a half-assed fake attempt at making these group of friends seem oh so close, so laughable, so fun, everything's so great. We have stories, don't we? Fuck you. Fuck you. You want to build characters? Fucking develop them. Don't fuck me like that.
It's exposition. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's exposition. It's lazy exposition and trying to establish a backstory that is relatable to the audience. Now,
yeah,
my
but I
problem
can give a fuck less about unless they give me a context.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
And yeah, so the scene in Clown Town.
He can't even say the name of it. Like, Clown Town. He's like,
Clown Town. where they're in the Jeep, and she's like, oh my God, so you wake up in the morning and your socks are all wet because you were so drunk you thought that your sock drawer was the toilet. And then it cuts to him, and a lot of times, like, I don't know if it's just because we're trying to let the actor be the character or whatever, but they'll get all butthurt and be like, you know, oh, I'm a big tough guy or whatever. But he rolls with it, right? He's just like, he's like, my sock drawer's on the top. I don't even know how he managed to get up that far or whatever. And so that gets like a small titter of laughter out of that whole thing. And then the girl in the back, she's like, is that the same party where Paul fell asleep with that hat on his head? And they're like, yes. And then they just all die laughing. I'm like, hold on. Dude pissing in his sock drawer. It's like, oh, yes, no, that did occur. Yes, it was quite tragic. The attrition of the laundry that was done the next day was palpable. Like, that level of meh, but, like, the silly hat kind of thing, like, that's going to draw the silly hat people in, right? The guy with the cat in the hat, the gesture hat douchebag, this guy.
It was foreshadowing for the business. It was
Jim, can I tell you why I hated that, like, hated that scene?
Beyond why?
Because you peed on your sock drawer?
No, it's a never fucking hack. They stole that whole bit. From Christopher Titus. That's a true Christopher Titus story that he tells in one of his fucking comedy specials.
Serious? Because I'm a pretty big Christopher Titus fan. I'm trying to remember. Was this back when he was a teenager and he was an alcoholic? Obviously, it'd have to be.
No. It's a recent story. Short and sweet is his current wife convinced him to have some wine, said wine's not going to kill you, you know, blah blah blah. The problem was he had been suffering a cold and took a bunch of cold medication, and the two did not mix. And so sometime in the night he got up and peed in his pajama drawer or something like that.
Well, I thought it was kind of funny only because being in the Navy and on a ship, I have heard stories of guys coming back to the ship so drunk and they just don't make it to the bathroom. They just pee on the guy's rack underneath them.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. So I was like, ha. So I was just thinking of the Navy guys who pissed on each other because they're so drunk.
It's Rain and Carl. Hallelujah. It's Rain and Carl. You asshole. Let's see here. What? Yeah, the whole fucking movie happens because
the one chick just lost her phone, right? Which is tragic. Yeah. But totally replaceable. And like so many red flags. Here's the thing. When red flags start going off and you just ignore them. Yeah, if you just ignore them, again, armchair survivalist. It's always easy to be able to make these calls well after the fact that I personally have escaped Clown Town. It's actually Clownburg here in Pennsylvania. lots of German clowns settled here when they first came to America.
With their Lederhosen.
Yeah, but yeah, again, just the small details. When the guy was beating the shit out of the clown, why weren't his knuckles covered in grease paint and blood? Like, that would have been a small detail that would have kept me invested. Every time those disconnects are there, those of us that have seen movies, especially bad movies, they stick out like huge green thumbs. Green
and
thumbs?
I will say, to be fair, we enjoy good bad movies.
Yes.
Like, we all like a really good bad movie. So we know what a bad movie is supposed to be good. This is just bad.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It tried so hard.
It did.
It did it, though. Basically,
it gave a budget to, you know, somebody who had never written a screenplay ever in their life but had been a fan of the genre, and they were immediately told, okay, we want to do something with clowns of some sort. We want to bring the fad back. So, go.
What are the kids scatter these days? Like, clowns, yeah, go with that. Clowns, okay, yeah, great.
Fuck. All right, so let's do this. And again, it felt like a first draft of a potentially good idea that was not even edited. It was just like, nope, it's good enough. Let's do
it. No, Danny, I think you hit. I think you hit the nail right on the head, because honestly, the movie switches. So we have that opening scene with the babysitter.
From slow to stop.
Yeah. And she finds the previous babysitter's necklace, and then she puts it on the newspaper and went, oh, hey, that
spoon.
But instead they make
story. Here's some more.
Here's the thing though. Here's where they make the switch that I didn't like. They make the kid the killer. Instead of, like, they could have just had, like, the killer come into the house.
Mom was the killer, but she
spoilers
her kids up well.
Fucking spoilers, Danny. God damn it.
See, I think
anybody listening to this, do not watch this movie. And besides, we've already told you, well, more than you needed to know about this piece of dog shit.
No, we watch these movies so you don't have to.
Exactly.
This
is a spoiler-friendly zone.
No, all the complaints you guys have brought up, I had as well.
Yeah,
I just found there was enough in it that kept me riveted to watch the whole thing through. I was able to find some.
Were riveted.
I didn't get up. I didn't go find something.
That's just the beatus right there. That's the diabetes winning. That's all that is. That is lack of fucking motion. That's all that is. That wasn't.
Don't care, Sam. Let it out, man.
What the fuck? Really? I didn't get up. I didn't get up. Wow.
I did. Multiple
Stephen times. Hawking. Stephen fucking Hawkins would have climbed out of his chair and left the theater if he could.
This is horseshit.
There is no scientific thesis for any of this. No, I think, Danny, what you were saying is true. It felt like a rough draft to the point where it's just like, where are they going? They're going to a concert. Which concert? We'll figure it out later.
I don't know.
They just fix it every day.
Yeah. Some country guy.
But if you're going to make a movie, because here's the thing, I feel bad for the actors in the film. Because ultimately, they're the ones that have to carry this shitty movie with them a lot more than, say, the production company. Production company can just make a shitty movie and then make a good movie. Yeah. An actor that has got something like that tied to them, yeah. So an actor that's got a movie like that tied to them, it's like it's going to be like the kiss of death whenever they try. Like, well, let's see what other stuff that they've been in. Like, well, this is just horrible. Like all the way around, and it isn't really their fault. It could have been better, but you got to put in that that again, playing armchair, you know, movie. I go from survivalist to movie expert rather easily. Same chair. Look, I'm not getting up. So I'm riveted by this podcast, by the way. Every week. Every goddamn week.
We know Drew is, and none of us, he still pays us.
You yeah, can't see it, Jim, but I'm flipping you off right now.
I feel it and I accept it and I don't care. I just let it wash over me. Gone. So yeah, like I said, if I feel bad for the actors that have to carry this turd on their record now as a film that they've been
in. What about the director? I mean, his life goal is to direct movies and he's never going to work again.
I'm not going to lie. At this rate, I blame it more on the director than I do the actors, because he's the guy who was the last vote to say, yeah, no, what you guys did was great. Let's put it on film. Or let's, you know, cut it, edit it, and make it nice and pretty. Yeah, this is the final product right here. Because a good director will push you to that point of making it as good as it can be. Now, granted, this is polishing a turd. And for all we know, the director of this was literally like, yeah, all right, I guess I'll get up and do this.
Well, even
my vendors. But
even more
that,
so, there's
this is not that
beyond important. The director, there's a producer who watches the cut and goes, no, that's great. Let's put it out.
And then there's an editor who just cries themselves to sleep at night.
No, there's an editor who goes, really? More of this shit? Okay, whatever. I'll just put this here. And
as long as you fuckers are paying, I guess. Whatever. Sure you want to make this movie? All right.
Editors don't give a shit, bro.
But still, it's one of those things where a lot of failures had to happen fairly simultaneously for this movie to have happened. And now that it has, yeah, it's there. Pretty sure nobody attached really wants anything to do with it anymore, but that's life.
Now, here's the thing. I actually found a review on bloodydisgusting.com.
Oh, gosh.
They fucking loved it.
Of course
they did. I'm sure Fangoria was a big fan, too. They have now, about as much taste buds as a single-celled organism, so I mean, hey.
Anymore. What are you gonna do?
I'll tell you why the actors have it worse than, say, the directors or the producers do of this film. Did you know, fun fact, I just double-checked this to make sure that I wasn't talking out of my ass, that this was in fact true, because it is so bizarre and, like, unbelievable, you're not going to believe me when I tell you. The director of photography for a little-known film that we all might remember, starring Robert Van Winkle, called Cool as Ice. Do we remember that film?
I do, bud.
Okay,
think,
so
I,
in the
I've
night,
heard of it. I don't think I've seen it.
It's horrible. It's a fucking. It was a vehicle to try and take advantage of Vanilla Ice's popularity at the time. Blah blah blah. Whatever. It's garbage. And the movie, when you watch it, is bananas and bonkers and off the fucking charts. Do you know what other film he was later picked to be the director of photography for? Schindler's List. Oh. I shit you not. So you can have a turd on your record like Cool as Ice and still get picked by Steven fucking Spielberg to do Schindler's List.
Well, yeah, I mean, Zack Snyder still has a career. He has a couple great movies under his belt, but everything he's produced since then has been garbage. Directed since then.
That's fair. Oh, it's one thing to say that, I mean, I understand the old adage that, you know, any exposure is good exposure in Hollywood, so long as you're doing something actively with your career. Somebody's going to be looking for that one specific role part and you to fill it. So, I mean, there is a part of it that is not going to completely ruin your career. I mean, look at Tim Curry, for fuck's sake. When he did Rocky Horror Picture Show, everybody thought he would never work in Hollywood ever again.
That's true.
And it only became a cult classic movie because it's fucking brilliant and wonderful, but it's not necessarily black marks on your record don't always mean you'll never work again. It's usually when you're a horrible person to work with or you're far too demanding.
Catherine Heigl.
Or you're just shit at your job.
Or you're Kramer, or you're Kramer on stage at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
You know. As either that or you're Kramer on stage at the Laugh Factory.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Danny!
He froze up.
James, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
I didn't hear you for a while, so. I was so scared, you guys.
I was actually trying to find more about the series that Jim said.
Clown Town? Look on Prime.
I can't find anything about it.
You have to go to IMDb, and you have to punch in 2016 film.
No. Jim said there's a television series. I found things that say there's a premiere, but I'm trying to figure out what it's...
Go to Prime. Come on, motherfucker. Slow phone. Here we go.
Riveting conversation this is.
Yep, 2020 Clown Town. And season one is available. After a recent suicide attempt, a troubled young man's life view is changed dramatically. It is only after he is seduced by a dangerous and elusive woman that things start to get a little funny. Clown Town, coming this fall to Prime. We're actually available now. First five episodes are up.
Oh, no.
So, is that your reaction, Samantha? Just no.
Oh, no. Like,
that was mine when I saw the pictures. No.
You know,
well, I did tell Ryan ahead of time that I'm going to be watching a clown movie, and he's like, "Cool, I'll be upstairs playing games."
Didn't I will even create... get to torture him with it.
Oh, he would have just left. Because I'm a nice girlfriend.
Who watches judges? Horrible things to scar her boyfriend.
You are mean to him, and you know you are.
I am a delight.
Yes, but only when he asks for it.
Food.
And right up until he says the safe word.
I cook him food all the time. I do all the domestic things.
Yeah, but you make him like have to work for the antidote, though. That's the thing. I'm kidding. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Oh, I wish people could see the expression Samantha made.
I apologize. That was not my best offering.
No, every night it's either arsenic or the antidote. So he's just gotta, you know, it depends on how he's treated me that day.
How hungry are you? Want to roll those dice? Come on.
What do you say we order out tonight? I've been kind of a shit person today.
It's like, I'll pay.
But no, overall, I would give that movie 2 Pee Wee Herman big thumbs down.
Well, you guys now have a couple of weeks to start looking for your offerings. Because you three... Because Bryce and I have both picked movies that have been watched, so it's up to you three to raise the bar.
And oh, I've got a couple.
You really don't have to do much.
From the Clown Town recommendations, I went down a rabbit hole and watched just a bunch of trailers, and I'm like, oh, how am I going to narrow this down? Because I was thinking I was just going to pick Boar again, because that was fun, except the ending was...
I'm still going to float my old Monster Man out there until it gets a ride because, honestly, I genuinely feel
well, like... we'll have to watch it eventually if you're the last one.
Exactly. That's my theory. I'm just going to hold that fucker out until it wins, and I think y'all will appreciate it.
Well, then I'm just going to watch it this weekend. So just to get ahead of the game, I'm just going to watch it this weekend, and I'm going to shit all over it.
Oh, just
well,
let Danny have his pick.
Yeah,
no.
You want to be an
asshole. Let him have his pick.
Cool.
Dude, Samantha, James thought Clown Town was a good movie. Do you think James?
I never said it was a good
opinions
movie.
Are going to affect Danny in any way?
It was a good movie. You enjoyed it.
I Your said Honor? I enjoyed it. I didn't say it was a good movie.
So you, all right, we'll just, I'm just going to move past that because we're going to get stuck in a semantics like, you know, Mire, and I don't want to.
We have all watched bad movies we've enjoyed.
I have an idea that I know that you're going to be very excited about as soon as I mention it that's going to make our movie reviews that much more exciting.
Oh, gosh.
Are you ready?
I'm excited.
Now, James, when James and I worked together on a little show called Car, I don't say Car Talk. I wish we worked on Car Talk. How fucking awesome would that shit have been? Oh my God. Miles Around, excuse me. When we worked together on Miles Around, Dennis, the guy that was that was running the show, brought me on, and I'm like, dude, I know nothing about cars. All I know is, like, you know, pop culture. He's like, you're creative. I know you'll find a way to make it interesting. So I'm like, I created this thing called Car Wars, where we took these vehicles from pop culture, we pitted them against one another. We made up all these, like, funny little categories to review and rate each of the battles. What we should do now with the movies that we watch are come up with, obviously, our thumbs up or thumbs down, a list of pros and cons that we can all discuss, and then deleted scenes that we wished would have happened in the movie, alternate taglines for others to do it, and the plot for, and the last thing would be the plot for a sequel.
Wow.
So I know that, I'm just thinking, these were ideas that I jotted down really quick that we could incorporate into our movie reviews. James, what say you?
I like it. Hold on to it, because we'll need to review it before the next movie watching. So everyone is on the same page.
Well said. I see what you did there, too. Pretty good.
Okay, so that's it for this week. Thank you for joining. Make sure and check out the newest episode of Homestead featuring our friends from All Things Z, David, Austin, Tracy. They're fantastic. And do not forget to visit us on Patreon. You can go to Not Another Patreon and support this shit show.
Yes, that's the enthusiasm.
We want this movie, so you don't have to.
We want to move out of Clown Town, so just help us.
Seriously.
But then I guess 70... we can just stop talking to each other, so...
70 cents a day.
Hey.
Wait, that was an option?
It's not enough. We're going to need more. We're going to need more.
A lot more.
So give what you can.
So much more.
Lots and lots.
I think we need to film Jim doing one of those donate now videos. Like, if we send him to poor. Fine, these are children who can't listen to Not Another Podcast.
Many podcasts go unfunded. And because of that, the content suffers.
He points it. Here's a podcast about shoes that no one has ever heard.
Can help a podcast
for just $1 a month.
But it brings good content to the world, and you will be doing your part to be a better person.
This would be so great. Oh my gosh. Ryan has a green screen. We can put, like, some sort of background that's, like, just desolate.
Just make it look like you're walking through like an African village, and then you just point to all the starving kids and name them different podcasts.
Hi,
there's a podcast no one's ever heard of.
Hi there, I'm the internet's Big Jim. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
First, podcasting entertainment has become quite popular nowadays, and contrary to popular belief and fake news, it is quite expensive to produce. Each month, our podcast is required to produce at least 2 pounds of blood diamonds in order to create one episode of Not Another Podcast. This isn't cheap. This is where you come in. Old jewelry, family heirlooms, whatever you have that you're not really doing much with. Do you want to keep being entertained by us? Give us your shit. It's just skyballing there.
Sorry, guys, I had to mute us all because I want to cut that and use it as a tag.
We'll fix it in post. It's okay.
Daniel was right in the middle of it, and I was like, oh, damn it, I should have.
We got the editor from Clown Town.
I'm the internet's Big Jim. You're welcome. Okay, guys, see you later.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.